Viridios is pleased to share its carbon wrap for this month, featuring Viridios Capital's head of legal and policy, Sharona Coutts, who is speaking at the 10th annual Carbon Market Institute's Australasian Emissions Reduction Summit in Sydney.
Sharona, you bring a supply side perspective through Viridios. Could you give us your high level thoughts on what the landscape might look like longer term?
Yes. So at a very high level, reflecting on a lot of what we've heard in the last days, and especially the minister this morning, it's great to hear a focus on the word integrity in the markets. And what do we mean by that? Well, we mean really looking at the projects that are delivering the offsets. And we also mean the claims. So having satisfied ourselves that the projects and the credits that they deliver are high integrity, then we also need to make sure that the claims we're making are high integrity as well. The other word that's in the background to all of this is ambition. Embedded within the Paris Agreement and increasingly national approaches is a ratchet. So we stretch and then we stretch again. I think there's another word that's very important, and it goes to the practical difficulties of getting there, which is consistency. Consistency leads to efficiency, which facilitates action. Consistency also neutralises to some extent complaints and valid feelings of unfairness, and that's a political reality that we need to grapple with. So to the extent that we can look for consistency both domestically in the way that we're treating different players in the economy, but also people, individuals, where they live and the work they do, but also globally, because one of the things that we hear all the time from people who want to be involved in the carbon markets is they are so confused. And it is so hard to get to the point where they've got their heads wrapped around the different markets, the different requirements, the different standards against which you're supposed to make disclosures, claims, and then the credits that you can use to apply those. And then there is this massive global crackdown on greenwashing, which is good, except one wonders whether that is backfiring to some extent, because where you're talking about voluntary claims, people are just walking away from those. That's a known goal, where people are just saying we'd rather just not do anything than try and be imperfect.
So, Sharona, let's talk about the compliance picture even as things stand. Viridios put out some research based on a survey of 200 companies earlier this week, which suggests that even based on the current ratchet down mechanism, there is concern about whether the heavy emitters will be able to get there amongst a large number of environmental managers. And I think 35% of companies have concerns about whether they'll be able to meet their obligations. What does this reveal to us, and what does that suggest in terms of policy tweaks to help industry make the distance?
The big picture was that they're going to need credits and offsets. I really agree that we need to bring down those thresholds under the safeguard, and I think we can do it slowly over time, consistently, with the idea of ratchet. I think that we're going to need to step back and think about where we start picking up entities that are in some of the industries that are going to be covered by these sectoral pathways. So that'll be a little bit of complexity to think through, and that's fine. We're all trying to work this out, because I think that we need much higher and deeper and wider coverage under the safeguard mechanism that then implies a greater demand and need for credits. Let me take a step back for a second. The goal is decarbonisation as quickly as we can get there. Most people in this room are familiar with the mitigation hierarchy. So first you avoid, where you can't avoid, you mitigate, and where you can't do either of those things, you offset. If you don't understand that that works on at least a quarterly or annual basis, then that is a trap, and it's a recipe for failure and climate catastrophe. Because what I hear people say quite regularly is, okay, we've got a 2030 target, so it's all systems go for decarbonisation by way of avoidance and mitigation until 2029, and then will offset the residual. No. We have to do that in real time. You need to be offsetting as you go. That means that you need to be, you know, if you are one of these entities that's going to have these larger obligations under the safeguard, you need to be thinking about how you secure those ACCUs that you're going to need, and you need to start doing that now so that you have them in hand. So that's the reform. We need it broader, right? So there's going to be a structural shortage of credits in the market, and this brings me to my other much bigger zoom out of consistency, international. Paris Agreement. The idea of Article 6 is to have an international market and to have a real one. And there's a real justice issue here. You know, we talk a lot about climate finance and just transition. Well, one of the best ways to deliver those hundreds of billions of dollars that we have not been delivering despite our promises, and which was one of the very understandable reasons that the Midway COP, you know, Midway Climate Conference this year in Bonn almost failed. It's because poorer nations are really getting sick of being told it's coming, the check's in the mail. It's not. It hasn't been. Climate finance can do that. And by the way, yesterday we had a panel of folks talking about the Pacific. And everyone is aware that climate finance can be development finance. Climate finance can be regional security finance. Climate finance is diplomacy. I think that we need to embrace the idea of a developing international market. And I say this with all humility because I know that there are people from the department and the regulator here, and they're working really hard on this. And I applaud the inclusion of the consideration of accepting international credits into Australia's system, as long as the requirements become increasingly ambitious over time and that march continues and gets faster and faster and the demand goes up, so that the price signal continues to level that decision-making between the cost of abatement and decarbonisation versus the cost of not getting there and being required to offset in real time as we go, so that we have a chance when we get to 2029 and 2030. Because, you know, that point about net zero 2050 being earlier, yeah, I mean, what I've heard in the last few weeks from scientists is actually at this point in time, it's net zero 2038. So that's the real goal. We're not doing well, but we can do better. And right now, what we have are these projects that can deliver removals and biodiversity and development and political incentives that make a lot of this more palatable. Because, by the way, if you listen to the news just this morning, you hear Pacific leaders asking for more development assistance and wanting a sort of EU-style visa-free travel arrangement with Australia. And in the back of all of that is climate. And then the next story we hear is the incredible political difficulties being caused by the efforts to build up our grid so that we can actually have the transition to renewables that we know we need and want, but is very difficult on the ground. And the increase of cost of electricity is a humongous political problem now. But once we have to pay for all that new infrastructure, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's hard. The fact that we have in hand a robust offsetting framework in Australia, which can be delivered cheaper and now on an urgent basis when we need it, that is something amazing, and we should embrace that and expand it. And again, on this point of consistency, when we do bring in international credits because our neighbours want to be able to deliver those credits to us so that we can send finance to them, if we take on the very impressive and thorough and rigorous work from the international voluntary market this year, which has done so much to codify how do you generate credits that have integrity, i.e. credits you can be proud of when the regulators come knocking, and how do you make credible high integrity claims on those credits. Let's try to bring that in to the reforms we make and how we think about our market so that those who want to participate are not bewildered.
We hope you enjoyed our latest edition of the Carbon Wrap podcast. For more information, visit us at ViridiosCapital.com. Thanks for listening.